Good evening, everyone, from what we're calling Studio 5C in an attempt to maintain some semblance of professionalism. But I'm afraid the smell of bleach and the sight of various mops rather give the game away. Still, we're not downhearted. Probably because we really haven't noticed just how bad it is. But we'll soldier on.
Ooh, yes, soldiers. I like to dip them in my eggs.
You know that can be taken two ways, don't you?
As can I. No, sorry, not going there this early in the evening. Juan Kerr, what do you like for breakfast?
I am, as you know, very fond of a bit of crumpet first thing in the morning. Especially if it's all dripping with butter.
Ooh, dripping.
Tea break over. Back on your heads, it's headlines time.
The Pilots Federation have got the painters in. And the builders.
It's all about social engineering.
Speeding is punishable by death.
Gunfight at the so-so corral.
Have you been involved in a promotion that wasn't your fault?
The greatest little engineer in Colonia. Okay. It's tummy tickling time as tranquility transcends.
Everything you ever wanted to know about the community-led events. Well, for this week at least.
The revival of changing cockpits seemed to have galvanised the Pilots Federation into action, and crossed marked with spray paint on the floor of certain cockpits have started appearing. They've started roping off parts of the concourse in various stations, and mysterious deliveries have been seen arriving at megaships. Tireless investigations by our roving reporter have revealed that these are all part of an initiative to improve the quality of life for pilots who need to spend lots of time in these environments. Firstly, by marking on the floor of your cockpit is the preparation for the extra seat. We covered that here 5 weeks ago. So if you haven't started making room in the fridge for someone else's milk and laid in extra supplies of toilet paper on your own, head be it. Actually, if it is the Imperial Navy, then perhaps that should be in your own head be it. The changes inside stations, or as the Pilots Federation termed it, new social hub styles, appear to have been caused by complaints that everywhere looks the same. Like being in a chain hotel bedroom. You could be in Seoul or in Colonia, and the only way to tell is to look out of the window. If you have one. The Imperials complained that their stations weren't swanky enough, and lowlifes, such as hangaround bars in out-of-the-way orbitals, complained that they weren't wanky enough. Pilots Federation to the rescue, as they've just got their discount card from Balustrades R Us, allowing them to offer you the pick of any style of handrail, just as long as it's in the first two sections of the catalogue, and not in the luxury range. And is a handrail. This year's station look is apparently all about the pipes, as they will be making a comeback after the garish pipework of the 3200s made them so last century. As apparently, industrial is what we all want when sitting at the bar. And don't think the changes stop there. Oh no, randomly dropped crates and plant pots to stub out your fags in will be, here it comes, different colours. Presumably so you can tell what station you're in by the colour and size of the box you've just tripped over. There are employment opportunities coming for Detris displacement operatives, or cleaners, but only in the wealthy and high-tech systems. This is likely to start a migration to such systems from places like asteroid stations, plus industrial and agricultural systems. And you know those farmers won't wipe their boots before they come in. Without cleaners, the carpets will be ruined in no time and the whole place will smell of bio-waste. We think that this is a very short-sighted approach to cleanliness. Just you wait until there are no space truckers or agricultural workers left in these poorer systems. The Imperials will soon start complaining when the shelves start emptying, and they can't get their Apiornis eggs for breakfast, or they run out of bio-waste removal roll.
The next piece of information about changes coming to vessel interiors involves megaships. Apparently, these are to be fitted with megaship social spaces, not, as we first thought, the equivalent of parks for the kiddies where the parents can gossip and sip megagin out of tea flasks whilst their offspring leap off tall structures or dig up little presents left by a Momus bog spaniel in the sandpit, but a base for on-foot services such as Vista Genomics and Pioneer Supplies. I don't know about you, but I don't hang about Pioneer Supplies looking for strangers to chat with about upgrading my suit or where you can get the cheapest ammo. Well, not since the restraining order anyway. Still, if the Pilots Federation says social spaces, then I guess we'll end up being sociable. Note that this work is only being completed on megaships. Fleet carrier owners should not get their hopes up anytime soon, looking for a bar or even a small casino where they can win the cost of the trip in tritium from unsuspecting passengers. Megaships only. Why? Well, it's all to do with a view. You need to be protected against witch space. It's an abyss that's going to gaze into you a lot more than you're going to gaze into the abyss. Seeing that sight unprotected will affect you more than making 700 jumps on the Milano, and the resultant unbidden ejection of whatever it was you had for lunch, even if you have a friend to hold your hair back, will exceed the cleaning capacity of even floor mopping guy. The only sensible protection is to either construct your ship without windows, like fleet carriers, or use the special abyss-proof glass, known as Abysmal Brand. Megaships are already abysmal. They were constructed from day one, knowing that there would be gawpers aboard, staring at the swirly lights as they move from system to system, whilst fleet carriers are much more the car transporters of the galaxy. No frills, but you get where you're going. Fitting social areas to fleet carriers will require all such vehicles to be retrofitted with abysmal glass, and so far nobody's been willing to stump up the cost. Oh, and good news for Apex passengers who have been complaining about having nothing to do on long flights. You'll soon be able to spend your trip ascending the taxi to an alternative destination. That should keep you busy.
The Pilots Federation, those happy-go-lucky Santas, sorry to include a mention of anything Christmas-related this early in the year, but no one but Mrs. Vantian is ready for that just yet. Anyway, those happy-go-lucky Santas who check the lists of the galaxy's inhabitants, deciding if you've been naughty or nice, and that the punishment for almost everything is not coal, but death, have been looking down from the celestial home and have realised that not everything that's happening on the ground is entirely fair. Commanders have been using their ships in an imaginative, but it could be argued, one-sided way, tipping the balance heavily in their favour when it comes to blowing shit up. Looking around for what they can use to help, the PFED, we're allowed to use a pet name for them. The PFED uncoupled some of their guns from the toast rack of a stonking big Coriolis station and will be mounting them on the surface of various planets to act as speed cameras. They will be called GATSO, Ground Authority Turret Speed Obliterators, and they're going to be used to teach pilots that catching some flak is not something they want to fly into, unless they really, really miss seeing the rebuy screen. To be fair, they have painted them yellow, so no one's going to have much sympathy if you claim they were hidden behind a bush or that the sun was in your eyes. A spokesman for the Pilots Federation said, well, they've just sent us a message to say they weren't those kinds of friends and can we please maintain formality in how we address them if we didn't want one of those new catsos facing Cubicle 3. Right, okay. A commander, be it the captain or some such, did hold hope that the famous panel is cut, panel is down manoeuvre could still be attempted. So if you're looking to make an aerial assault in future, we suggest that you find a friend on the ground, preferably a short one, so that they can make the approach without getting their heads spread over half the landscape.
Galactic adventurers and three times winners of the Laurel and Hardy Cup for Accidental Comedy at the Beagle Point Fringe Festival, Commanders Rampage 737 and Grand Nomarch of all the Colonias Hanky have been airing their dirty linen in public. Dirty linen with a skid mark bigger than Flossie's last thrusters off landing and a fouler stink than Cubicle 3's long-term storage area. With cries of, my dad's bigger than your dad, and see that escape pod? That's your house, that is. These two duelers of words using rapiers of riposte and shields of shit-talking have been exchanging insults like a seasoned threepwood, keeping, I know you are, but what am I? Bouncing in the air back and forth for hours, neither side giving any quarter or any greater wit than nah, nah, nah. Honour has apparently been besmirched. As they say, each by t'other. And nothing short of sending their deadly rival to the rebuy screen will suffice. They're like a modern-day Statler and Waldorf, but with a bigger stick up their arse. And these two, who really are the best of friends, have found themselves having to follow through. And for one of them, it won't be the first time. They have decided that this can only end one way. It'll be handbags at dawn. Which is a bugger, since the contest will be held on Mitterrand Hollow.
Here at Hutton, we've become increasingly concerned about the underhand tactics of the underwriters for the Pilots Federation's ship insurance. For example, they've been sending messages through system chat saying that they've heard that you've been involved in an accident. These can, of course, be met with the reply of, how did you know? It's only just happened. There's bits of wreckage everywhere, and I think that the other pilot must be dead. Or at least, he must be an owl if his head is facing in that direction. And that may buy you a small amount of self-satisfaction, if nothing else. However, this is nothing compared to the relentless bombardment of pilots when they're at their most vulnerable. Just as they've received a promotion and endorphins are coursing through the system, the Pilots Federation hit them with the news that their insurance is going up. Not exactly an incentive to pass your test, is it? Apparently, this is just an administrative error on the part of an overeager employee who did the equivalent of a reply all on a message where you're bad-mouthing your boss and forgot to select Elite Star, Rich Geezers Only in the Mail Merge programme. So for now, unless you've reached the exalted ranks of the super tax payers, you can safely ignore these messages. And for goodness sake, don't move your credits to a safe place if someone messages you to say that your account's been compromised.
Introducing a new member of the engineering team who'll be coming to Colonia quite soon, TM. Rosie Knightling. Born and raised in a starport within a northern feudalist system, Rosie had a few obvious skills in her youth. She was an average student, suffered from verbal diarrhea and found athletic competition other than Mario Kart dull. But she did have a passion for mechanical things, fascinated by the constant stream of ships outside the window of her two up, two down, with a combination of donated, swapped and liberated from their original owner tools, she began to tinker on the gadgets in her mother's bedside table, looking to reverse engineer them to learn how the various components work. Her natural talent blossomed, and over time she started visiting her neighbour, and whilst telling their parents she was helping them with his technology, was getting inside his suits and manually handling his equipment. This became helping out friends of friends, then distant acquaintances as Rosie approached adulthood, people from across the station would turn up at her door with things to fix. In fact, the number of people who came rapping at the door led to her family home eventually being known as the local knocking shop. And yet, she would rarely charge people credits for her time. Her enjoyment of work and tendency to trade skills led her to accept favours instead of credits. A trembling of the knees in exchange for a home-cooked meals, an overnight stay for free house cleaning. Word of Rosie's talents Prasit reached a local businessman who operated a suit supply store. An experienced hands-on merchant himself, he offered Rosie an opportunity to help out behind the curtain at his shop in return for some second-hand battery-operated devices, pharmaceuticals, furry restraints and other equipment. Rosie accepted, drawn by the chance to examine far more interesting gear than the home appliances and commercial technology she was used to. After many happy years of this arrangement, her mentor passed away. What little she had to bequeath was given to Rosie, along with a handwritten note asking Rosie to leave the starport and pursue her dream of a full chicken ranch. Rosie did so, announcing to her friends that she would seek employment with someone that she could call Madam. As word and penicillin spread throughout the community, a collection was held to fund this new venture. The many Rosie had helped so selflessly for so long gladly contributed. To Rosie's astonishment, it was just enough to establish her own gentleman's club in Colonia. Rosie found her local celebrity discomforting, having felt that helping the community was a responsibility rather than something notable. Yet deep down she recognises that she could have made a comfortable living from her talents, but chose to remain true to her principles. Now she enjoys total autonomy in a new community, excited by the opportunity, while missing her friends dearly.
The Hutton space holiday season continues unabated despite the recent last bank holiday before Santa, with all systems blue across the board, experiencing a prolonged period of relative calm, except for a couple of mild isolated thunderstorms, of which you will hear shortly. The outlook is good, with a period of settled calm predicted. It's like we're all happy, lying on our backs, legs in the air, having our tummies tickled, snorting over happy thoughts and dreaming of leftovers. We have only three systems below 40% this week. Wolf 1481, Narensis, and no prizes for guessing this one. Anyone? Anyone? Bueller? It's Barnard's Star, which again recovered briefly with a small bump after minor factions completed their squabbling earlier in the week, but it has now slid back to 30%. And this week, the latest episode in a series of wars and elections amongst the also-rans temporarily sees over 40% of the system's influence tied up. It seems that all is not well at the back of the wardrobe, where four of the Narnian factions are squabbling with each other in wars, both civil and not so civil, locking up 55% of the influence in a very similar situation to Barnard's Star, leaving Hutton on only 30%. Wolf 1481 completes this week's pile of laggardly systems on 37% with yet another war between minor factions. What is it with these minor factions? PSPF-LF2 had a mild case of pirates during the week, but these were seen off after the twice daily application of some well rubbed in multi-cannons and anti-pirate cream. At the top end of the systems league, we have only four systems above 60%. There's little point in me telling you which ones as we tire of hearing their names. Let's just say that we've never seen this much pointless misguided excitement over a couple of insignificant LPs since the Osmonds were a thing. Meanwhile, in Colonia, the Dark Lord of Pythias himself, Darth Hanky, asked that Tucker's help Hotcog win the imminent election in Tyr and the ongoing election in Pythias, both against the Colonia Cooperative. Priorities this week are: if you want to truck something, boost Hutton influence in Barnard's Star and Narnia once the squabbling has died down a bit. Or help Hanky stuff tissue box. I mean ballot boxes. If you want to shoot something, oh, find something yourself.
Now, coverage of events organised by fellow community members. As usual, links will be posted in the Twitch chat and also in the description of your YouTube upload. There are fewer of the 124 waypoints of the Canon Challenge ahead of the fleet carrier Consu than there are behind it. And whilst his passengers are dawdling in the local tourist shops, Commander Mephisto popped out for a crafty snifter and to send us this update. After 5 days of refuelling tritium, the Comfy Cannon crews reached waypoint 67 to admire Ostrinum Chalice pods. Today, on the second day of jumping into the Formorian frontier, 50,000 light-years from Sol, Consu reached the next waypoint. Here, the first squad mollusks of the crews are featured with the Rubium species. There are four more waypoints in the vicinity, then the crews will head to the far north, northern arm of the Milky Way. The SWS High Summer Slamdown 3307 expedition continues until September the 5th, so still time to join the long-range, high-gravity body landing tour. Commander Richard Fluvianis, M, has sent us this update. We are in our last week of our expedition and we just went through the mighty, the Litherbreaker and Colonia, with most of the people in the expedition doing the card challenges. However, the problem of the mysterious disappearing planets persisted and we had to remake the route. After our brave scouts found some replacements, we discovered that some of these systems were in fact barely discovered and without recognition. A lot of entries for Galactic Mapping Project and a lot of gravity mechanics were tested and hopefully we can get to determine who is the greatest slammer of all. FGS Glorious War surveys the Monkey Head Nebula concluded successfully after exploring in and around nebulas such as Monkey Head. Commander Wiener Warlock sends us this farewell from the expedition. After 2 weeks, plus 20,000 bodies scanned, plus 5,000 probes sent off to their end, and 1,000 bodies successfully mapped, the crew only lost a reported 5 commanders, 2 of those to gravity. The chat and screenshot thread were full of interesting shots and gorgeous vistas, some clever problem solving, and overall a good sense that we set out to leave footprints on planets that no one has seen before. The Wild Wild West expedition departed from Colonia on the 28th of August, and Commander Analog Kid has left this note pinned to our door. Having called forth a brace of carriers from Lave, the birthplace of elite, the Wild Wild West expedition beckoned us towards the thriving hub of Colonia, where commanders converged to undertake an intrepid voyage into the black, not only the black of space itself, but the sable unknown. Our first stop, Spihei XEX D2-9, the planet of death, in orbit of a neutron star and then onwards. We brave the depths, our quest lies westward. If you've got free time on Saturday at 2000 UK time, that's 1900 UTC, then you could do worse than attend the snappily entitled En Soirée avec Rampage pour des pupus. Let's hope Rampage is better than at organising than he is at French, and the cunning linguist says, if you fancy a little pew-pew in Odyssey, I'm running a ground combat event this Saturday. We will all team up and pick the name, the same side for the same pew-pew. Daka Daka. Ah! Oh! PWP fun. Location to be confirmed, but it's in the bubble and close to Hutton space. We will be using the Hutton team speak. And that's it, this week's roundup of community led events. If you want yours to be featured, just email itookpart@huttonorbital.com and we'll get in touch.
And that was the news. Stay tuned for brand new Gownet News Digest, Flossie's roundup of the CG News, Hutton Sports Report, and of course this week's Act of Courage and Daring as Amelia tackles one of the galaxy's most rare and dangerous items, so you don't have to. But first...